W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Authorities are searching by air and on the ground for Robert Card. He's called a person of interest in Wednesday night's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. At least 20 people are believed dead after the shootings in a restaurant and a bowling alley. Riley Dumont was at the bowling alley with her daughter.
I see a lot of the good in people in this world. Like, I give everybody a chance, and this is something that will change me.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley has more on Card, who was committed to a mental health facility after saying that he was hearing voices.
Authorities did not reveal a motive overnight. The ATF is among the agencies responding.
Authorities say before being treated at that mental health facility over the summer, Robert Card threatened to carry out a shooting at a National Guard facility.
Maine State Police have expanded the shelter-in-place advisory and closed schools to nearby Bowdoin, Maine. Israeli tanks and troops briefly raided northern Gaza overnight. Israel says it's preparing the battlefield before a widely expected ground invasion. This is ABC News. They're cleaning up in Acapulco after Hurricane Otis tore through.
In the hurricane's wake, a trail of damage in the streets. Hurricane expert Kristen Corbosero.
Folks there were expecting probably a low-end hurricane, and then they get a major Category 5. I think the most intense storm to make landfall in the eastern Pacific ever.
Choked with mud and debris, with no electricity or internet service, the city descended into chaos after the storm as thousands helped themselves to goods from stores damaged by the powerful wind.
That's ABC's Tom Rivers at the Foreign Desk. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is expected to take the witness stand today in his own New York criminal fraud trial. The so-called king of crypto is accused of stealing billions from clients. Bankman-Fried's attorneys plan a limited defense to convince jurors he's a sympathetic character who let things get out of hand. A new survey ranks the best tippers by state. California is on top, an average of 22%. On the bottom, Illinois, about 14% left at the table. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Trunk or treat. I'm going trunk or treating.
Terry, you got to be talking about one of the Halloween events coming up at both Green Bay area YMCAs, Saturday, October 28th. It's fun for the whole family and includes games, a costume contest, and of course, Halloween treats, my favorite.
Oh, and Todd, it's happening at the East Side YMCA from 1 to 4, then the West Side YMCA from 4 to 7. But the trunk or treat, well, that one's only on the East Side between 1 and 2. Decorate your car and the kids get treats from your trunk.
Sounds like a lot of fun, and it's all free. Would you rather help out? You can volunteer for any of the Halloween events on Saturday, October 28th at both Green Bay YMCAs.
Find all the information at greenbayymca.org. greenbayymca.org. Keeping you connected to your community, the talk of Green Bay, WGBW 1590 AM, 97.9 FM, and the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville campus announced Tuesday they will eliminate over 100 positions on the campus. The school is facing an over $9 million structural deficit. About 60 people are going to be laid off, while officials plan to cut 31 open positions on the campus. The campus joins UW-Oshkosh in laying off workers amid budget cuts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media. News.
The Bucks are back tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the season opener. The Bucks host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at Fiserv Forum, downtown Milwaukee. Tip-off time at 6:30. Philadelphia will be without James Harden. Although he rejoined the team yesterday, he did not make the trip to Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers injury list getting long. Matt LaFleur.
So Aaron Jones, Josh Myers, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes did not practice. Then limited were Jair Alexander, Drake Campbell, Elton Jenkins, Yosh, and Devontae Wyatt.
The Packers host the Vikings on Sunday. College football, the Badgers have their hands full Saturday night when they host Ohio State at Camp Randall, kickoff at 6:30. Why is Ohio State ranked number 3rd in the nation? Luke Fickell.
You see the complete team be able to play together, offense, defense, and special teams, regardless of if they got a first-round draft pick quarterback right now and they're scoring 55 points a game. It's ultimately about winning. You can see it whether it's you watch the offense with the defense or even the special teams.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy. High of 64, south winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows around 60, cloudy. 65 tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour two of Mino and the Mayor. 53 degrees in Green Bay, 56 in Appleton, 57 degrees already in Oshkosh at 7:06.
Enjoy
on
it.
A dark, rainy morning, but at least it's nice and warm. We're having a great, fun show today, aren't we?
Yeah.
That was really interesting having him on here, and we're going to get him on again.
Yeah, that whole recycling, we're going to talk more. When he left, or after we were done interviewing or having that discussion, there's just so much more information.
I could have asked him 10 more questions.
The lithium batteries that Todd talked about,
as that
well
caused
as,
so many problems. And how about Todd from Midwest Ryan from Midwest Restoration?
Yeah, awesome.
5 calls already from midnight till now,
right?
Because of water in people's basements.
Right.
But anyway, I'm with a gentleman right now that I've been so
Another
excited
great,
about having.
Yes.
Great guy, Tory Ray is his name, and I met Tory when I spoke in Manitowoc a few months ago. And he was telling me a little bit about his story, and I checked him on Facebook and everything. It's like, wow, you think you've got a cool dog?
I do.
Let
but
me
my
tell
dog
you something.
Is that, no.
Let me tell you something. This guy deals with cool dogs. Your dog, you know what? Your dog wouldn't want to have to like walk past these dogs. If they're all just sitting there and you wouldn't walk up to Milton, here's your
Milton is a,
those dogs would be like just
he's not a bomb sniffing trained dog by Tori.
Exactly. But
it's incredible what you've done or
great
you're
having
doing.
Here.
Hey, thanks for having us, and it was great meeting you in Manitowoc. I mean, they do a great job at the Manitowoc Veterans.
They do.
I love them to death. They work really hard with, you know, a lot of organizations down there.
Absolutely. Now, Tori, you've always been a dog guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've always been a military veteran advocate.
Yes.
Because of your
family. Yeah.
Tell about your grandfather real quick here.
So, well, my grandfather came over in the late 1800s with like five of the 13. And they ran actually the Kohler Company Farms before it shut down and all went to the foundry. And, you know, my dad and all his uncles were always hanging out. And, you know, I had a great uncle, Jerry, who he spent 172 days.
Great uncle.
Yeah, he was a great uncle. He spent 172 days in a prison camp in the South Pacific.
Probably the Philippines.
Yep.
Cabanatuan.
It could have been. He didn't really talk a lot about it.
A lot of them didn't.
You know, until the end, of his life.
The gentleman, Lester Ruzsik from Manitowoc, who I bet knew your great uncle.
I bet you did.
Because those guys that shared that same experience, a lot of them only shared it with
each other.
Exactly. With each other.
Right.
And what those guys went through was mind-boggling. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, I didn't know anything about that for most of my life, but we played together in golf, and he was a postal man for our hometown for his whole life. He retired there, and, you know, my dad and my uncles, not my great ones, my uncles told me the story about that, and it's been, being patriotic has been in my family my whole life. You know, it was a large family. It was always 4th of July, Memorial Day, the parades, getting together. Everybody had a lab. They were all duck hunters and pheasant hunters. And
so that's the segue now.
The dog's pretty much.
This is the segue. So you go from extremely patriotic family.
Correct.
Okay.
Ingrained.
Ingrained.
Right.
Grew up with it in your blood.
More than just respect. It's ingrained.
Right.
I mean,
it was just life.
It was part of being an American.
And then you've got this love of dogs and whatever, and seem to have a natural knack for training them. Is that right?
Well, I mean, you just kind of grow up with them. You learn how to read them. And you know, like at those family picnics, yeah. You know, the adults were doing adult things and we were doing kid things. And the dogs were always pretty much babysitting us.
However, it wasn't just you. Other people saw that in you. Uh-huh. And you were actually recruited to go train?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. I mean, this is
fascinating.
That's pretty awesome.
So I was working for a field trial trainer in Wisconsin out of Princeton by the name of Andy Attar. And he's probably one of the best field trial trainers in the country, if not the world. And I got real lucky to go work for him. And when we were coming back from a winter trip, his old dog training assistant, Seth Steenbergen, called me up and said, hey, we just got a 680-dog contract from the Department of Defense. We need the dogs trained and we need trainers. How do you feel about, coming to North Carolina and doing that? And I was like, do I get to go to Afghanistan? And he's like, what? I'm like, well, I'm not training the dogs and I'm not training the guys and then watching them leave without me. I want to go through the whole thing. And he's like, okay.
There aren't a lot of people I know that said, have ever
sign me up.
Do I get to go to Afghanistan?
To me, it wasn't. It wouldn't have been normal to train the dogs
and then
build a relationship with the guys who were going to go to Afghanistan and not be there.
But there's people I think who would have trained the dogs and put them on the plane.
Best of luck.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you did that 680 dogs. What did you train them on? How 680
types of dogs?
So they were labs. This was the IDD program. It was all black, yellow, and brown labs.
Tell me what the IDD stands for.
So it's improvised detection dog.
And why labs?
Well, they're...
Why not Bernedoodles? I would hate to see something happen to my dog. So don't ever train a Bernedoodle.
To explain it the easiest way, labs are an ultimate hunting dog. They're very tractable. They're very friendly. They're family oriented. So it's easier to give a highly trained lab to a young Marine who maybe just got into the fleet and had no experience, maybe did a Mew instead of a German Shepherd or a Belgian Malinois. They want to please, they want to bond, and they're not aggressive in any manner. So
in training these dogs, it just seems, that sounds like a lot of dogs to me, 600. And dogs, must be through sniffing, right? Because their noses are like 10,000 times better than ours. Is that how they detect these IDDs?
Correct. And it wasn't just me. There was teams. We had teams from all over the country.
Yeah. So it wasn't me and my five guys training 600 dogs.
There was like 15. There was like 15 teams, and that was great because the Army and the DOD at that time, they had a great dog program. But what we had was the ability to train in a different manner that the military wasn't doing at that time. And the officer in charge of the bomb dog program, actually all military work, she was out of Lackland, and she knew the person who owned our company, and he was Special Forces. So they had worked together, and she saw a field trial event one day and she was like, can you train those dogs like to find bombs and then give them to our guys so they have standoff? Because up until that point, like 2006, 2007, I think, all the bomb sniffing dogs were on 30-foot leashes. So our guys that were handling the dogs were never more than 30 feet away from a potential, life-ending situation. And with...
Could be a 500-pound bomb planted there.
Done.
And it could be remote detonated with somebody sitting there with his cell phone, and I'm not exaggerating, he pushed the button on the cell phone.
You've nailed it. I mean, you're absolutely correct. So this gave them standoff distance because in the field trial world, there's a thing called a blind, and you set the dog next to you, and you say back, and it takes off in a straight line, and it'll run straight until you hit a whistle, and then it stops, and it turns around, and it looks at you, and you can literally guide it to the right or to the left with your hand movements that they can see. So instead of clearing routes 30 feet at a time, they were doing 500 yards at a time.
Wow.
And they could send them into compounds, send them to a door of a compound and check the compound entrance to see if there's any explosives there.
And these dogs, again, to train a dog, that is through the scent, right?
Correct. We imprinted the dogs on the explosive, the explosives that were being used in Afghanistan.
So it's like an allergy detectant dog. This is a dog that has been imprinted.
The different chemicals that they were using.
It picked up on odor. So it was C4, ammonium nitrate, all the stuff they were using to make bombs.
Okay, and that's what the dog sniffed out. And once the dog went the 500 yards, which is really a long ways, I mean, compared to 30 feet especially, but I mean, that's
a quarter
and then
of a
the,
mile.
They would just follow that exact path then, knowing it was a safe route.
Correct. So basically what you would do is if you're on a road, you would put the dog on the downwind side of the road.
Okay.
And you would send it on this blind. And obviously the wind is going from right to left, say. The dog is sniffing the whole time. It's kind of extreme hunting. If you've ever seen a dog go pheasant hunting,
sure,
they catch that odor,
and
they immediately turn direction, and they work the scent cone in to where that bird is. So they did the same thing with the explosives.
I don't know if you know Bob Olson.
I don't.
But from a little bit north from me around the Crivitz area, and we had him on the show. He's a great dog trainer.
He did.
Phenomenal dog trainer.
Yeah.
And I've been to his place a few times watching this. It's fascinating to watch a dog being trained.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating.
Dude.
It really is. Do most dogs swim?
Well, there's really, dude.
Because the reason he has the only dog that can't swim.
That's not true. My dog will swim.
He's afraid to get his belly wet.
He's in swimming lessons.
He won't and go John, into water to his belly.
So labs and other dogs are more prone to attack the water than there
are some
other ones.
Here's a tactful guy. Instead of picking on my dog, he gave a good political answer, which thank you for doing that.
Now you're going to ask, hey, you have any interest in going into politics? So that's what he always asks our guests.
Well, Tori, I'm going to get to that. But so you've taken this, and I want to call this is a gift that you have. You are great at training dogs. You have an unbelievable respect and love for the military, and you've taken
this.
So it's
a perfect job for you.
Well, you've taken it to a new level, right? You are actually training dogs
that save lives
to give to vet. Okay, go ahead. Tell us about what you're doing.
So dogs to dog tags.
Right.
We it was founded after one of my Marine handlers. Was in an IED ambush. Chris Van Anten, he was on a night patrol without the dogs because the dogs are, well-mannered for night. You can't see them. They want a range on you to look for the bomb. So his patrol that night ran into a daisy chain.
Oh.
And, John,
yep.
The natural reaction for the rest of the guys is to go in after someone gets hit. And it got two more guys and killed a person and the turf.
Was he a Marine?
Chris was a Marine, correct.
I've got a good buddy from my hometown. Humvee got hit, and what the terrorists or whatever you want to call them, Hodges, what they would do then is they would study how guys would react to something, and they knew exactly the security that those Marines would put up around that Humvee, and once they were in place, they detonated a daisy chain, and three of the guys lost their legs, including my buddy.
And we'll talk about that. Okay. We did something to countermeasure that.
Okay. Awesome. Wow.
And I want to get to this dog. And what you're doing is unbelievable. And we can take some donations. We're going to talk about your foundation
dogs
and how
to dog
we can
tags,
help.
But your program, you got to stick around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. We're going to hold you over.
Fascinating stuff, buddy. Tori Ray, Dogs to Dog Tags. Fascinating story. Chester Markle coming up at 7:30, which actually Tori is really excited about as well.
I am actually. I really want to.
I think
really
you need to stick
him.
Around and listen to that one. We got to set a break. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Thursday morning. We're with Tori Raid, dogs to dog tags. This is just fascinating stuff, Tori. And let's talk a little bit more about what we're just talking about. I had a friend, Marine, lost his legs in Iraq or Afghanistan. I should know right now, but exactly what you were talking about. A Humvee got hit. They sent the recovery squad. Those people that we were fighting would study. They would videotape. They would almost like scouting an opponent in a football game.
Yep.
Figure out exactly what they were going to do and would have measures to nail them, react with that.
Right.
Tell them how you and your people help combat those situations, which I find fascinating.
So you're absolutely right. They watched. They paid attention. They would set up an ambush. And from watching what they would do, they would see what the reaction was to set up coordination and coverage and security. So it was always the same. So they'd set up the IED, and then they'd set up perimeter IEDs in hopes that they would walk into them or they would be remotely detonated. And it was effective. So what we did is we taught the dogs to do what we call this fives, 20s, or fives, 15s, and 20s. And we would basically teach the dogs to dismount out of the back of the vehicle and hunt in a circle all the way around the vehicle at at 5 meters, 15 meters, and 20 meters before the guys even got out.
So basically you...
It wasn't just me.
No, but you guys...
So
you
there
guys
was a huge team.
But what I'm saying is you guys countered what they were doing.
It was
you
constant.
Know what I mean? Like I said, in football, you see the defense. You
exactly.
It was, it was constant countering. Yeah.
They you studied know, you. A step ahead. You studied yeah. them. You were
they,
a step
they
ahead
would
of them.
Pull something, and we would figure out a way to beat it. And then they'd try something else, and we would figure out a way to beat it. I mean, they're very intelligent people. I mean, I'm not going to say they're not. They were, you know, we couldn't throw cigarette packs on the ground or aluminum cans on the ground. They would use the cellophane from the inside of, and they grind it up to use it as part of the bombs because they needed.
Oh, man.
They needed things. We weren't allowed to, you know, and I don't know. You know this. When guys travel, they would use water bottles.
Yeah.
Okay. We weren't allowed to put those outside in the garbage cans anymore because they would make uranium nitrate from it.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
So unbelievable. We could have you here all day, but we've got Chester coming up. But you have taken this gift and passion that you have and parlayed that into a great, great organization where you actually continue your training of dogs, your love for the military, and came up with this dogs to dogs tags where you – I don't know where you get your dogs. You get them from the pound? Or
we're trying really hard.
Okay.
We get them from the Humane Society. We get them from rescues.
Okay.
We get what's called pay it forwards where
cool.
A veteran
right.
has a oops litter and sure. we'll right. send veterans to them and they'll give them the puppy and then they'll come to us and right. we will train it.
You'll train the dog and then you'll give it to a veteran who may be struggling a little bit after coming back, right?
Correct. Yep. Emotional support dogs, companion animals, service animals.
So obviously
is that great?
At one time you were training them to sniff out, you know, nitrates and things like that. And now you're training them to be supportive of this this veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Is the training a lot different, or is it still the fundamentals still the same?
The fundamentals are the same. You still do the same basics. And, you know, part of the bomb dog world was we had to get them in a situation where they were environmentally safe and nothing bothered them. You know, so we do a lot of public access training at Walmarts and at, you know, Home Depots and wherever we can go, the grocery stores, my local people, you know, they all know what we're doing. So when we go in there with the dog, they know why we're there. And that's a big part of getting a dog to the service dog level is being environmentally sound. I kind of changed my direction. I don't do military work anymore. I do post-military work what I call it.
But you train them. That Home Depot, I was telling Johnny, I was there last night with my dog training. And it goes to these veterans and what a gift for the veteran. Yeah. I mean, right?
It's free to the veteran.
Right.
They don't pay for it.
And they don't pay for the dog at all?
Nope.
No.
Wow. How do you guys get funded?
We're going to donate.
It's all donations.
Okay. It is.
We're going to talk about that.
The stressful part of what we do.
It is. But, and there's, you know, we've got to support this. There's so much good here. I mean, and it's all wrapped into your organization, Dog to Dog Tags. But we got Dog to in the it's the number two, so it's dogs2dogtags.org. And you go on their website and you can donate. You have events coming up that people can attend and support.
We actually have one coming up in November here.
Yes. Yep. That we talked to Kathy about yesterday.
Kathy's awesome. That whole team is awesome. They invited us up
for that.
You
talked to Kathy yesterday.
Yes.
We talked yesterday. Yeah. She's a mortgage broker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In town.
Okay.
She's
that's
great.
That's going to be great. Yes. And people can donate. And I mean, I don't know if you want to tell us, what's the cost? I mean, this is not
so
cheap.
So right now the cost is a lot because we're in the middle of a capital campaign. We just broke ground last Saturday.
Okay.
And we're adding 12 kennels. Our office space, we're finishing off the training center, and it should be done.
In Plymouth?
Sheboygan Falls. So that's the weird thing. Everybody's like, hey, you have a Plymouth address. You're in the town of Lima. You're in the Falls School District.
They all kind of come together.
I'm like, we're in Sheboygan County.
Although, you know what? That's a beautiful part of the state.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that area. When I was in real estate showing houses around some of those rolling hills and everything, that's really cool down there.
I was in politics. You should run for mayor. Isn't your mayor stepping down?
Randy? No. Randy's going to be mayor forever.
I don't know. Okay.
He was just at our ribbon cutting.
Okay. Nice job, Jim.
Groundbreaking.
Hey, nice job, Jim. Why don't you have another? Wow.
What? No, he's done a great
job. Unfortunately,
he's doing a great
I couldn't
job.
Be in politics.
I think everybody says that, and I think you could, and I think you'd be great. But
you think I could?
But Sheboygan Falls, great community. We were down there for your Kohler Oktoberfest.
Yeah. So the food and wine.
Yeah, yep. We were, and the glam band, who are friends of all of us.
Oh, yeah, those guys are great. So I've done work with them, too,
Dennis
as well.
Dennis is going to be here
tomorrow. So they've done two events for us, actually. One with the Ant Hill Mob up in Manitowoc.
Oh.
And then we also did the Fond du Lac.
I was there walleye, at the county fair.
Walleye days, or walleye weekend.
I was at the Manitowoc County Fair with the Ant Hill Gang.
Yep.
And
those guys are great too. You should get them on.
Well, I donated $20. I
mean, oh my God! Whoa! Okay, save that tape for a promo. Johnny Mino got the crowbar out.
I was buying
the moths flew out. He opened his wallet and found the.
I was buying
20 singles that he used to use at a different
place. Were you there
place.
That night?
So they did it for us. We were there the year before.
Okay.
So they do it. A poker run that's all year long.
So I was talking with the Ant Hill Gang guys.
They're good dudes.
Good bunch of guys.
Really good dudes.
But
we got to find a way to raise some money for you guys.
This Dogs to Dog Tags. I want to get people to get on your website because it's so easy to navigate through there. You hit the donate button or you can just hit the events button and go to some of these things you're talking about.
It's easy because it's literally D2DT.org.
Yep.
D2DT.org. We're going to go right there.
Promote the heck out of
this. And it'll be on our info too, Todd. We'll put that on. But thank you for what you're doing. I have a love for animals and a great respect for the military. I never served nearly what, oh my God, your family, the lineage there, I think is terrific. But the comfort of a dog, I think they listen to everything and you can tell them you got an annoying co-host and they just look you right in the eye and they take it all in.
Wow.
That's you. He's talking about you.
Oh, I know.
This is ruthless.
We'll tell you some stories about this crazy dog of his sometime. Tori, thank you so much.
Thank you,
we
guys.
We want to be your partner. We want to promote everything you guys do.
All right. Just don't forget to come up to Stadium View for Houses of Honor on the 12th of November.
Yes.
Send us some stuff. We'll promote that.
Excellent, you guys. Thank you so much.
You're the man. Let's keep in touch, okay, buddy?
Yep.
All right. Chester Mark will be joining us next. Mino and the Mayor. Back after this.
Coming over you. Keep on smiling what we go through. One stop to the rhythm that divides you. And a beat to you like the chorus.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. Authorities are searching by air and on the ground for Robert Card. He's called a person of interest in Wednesday night's mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. At least 20 people are believed dead after the shootings in a restaurant and a bowling alley. Riley Dumont was at the bowling alley with her daughter.
I see a lot of the good in people in this world. Like, I give everybody a chance, and this is something that will change me.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley has more on Card, who was committed to a mental health facility after saying that he was hearing voices.
Authorities did not reveal a motive overnight. The ATF is among the agencies responding.
Authorities say before being treated at that mental health facility over the summer, Robert Card threatened to carry out a shooting at a National Guard facility.
Maine State Police have expanded the shelter-in-place advisory and closed schools to nearby Bowdoin, Maine. Israeli tanks and troops briefly raided northern Gaza overnight. Israel says it's preparing the battlefield before a widely expected ground invasion. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wegehout. This is Civic Media News.
Mino and the Mayor.
The Magic Man, Don Makowski.
I met you one time. You won't remember this because you met a million people, but I met you at an airport.
Oh, yeah. Here, you remember that match?
I remember.
Yeah, you were the guy in the airport. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure you never met anyone.
How you been?
I was telling Johnny yesterday when I heard you were coming on, you were so nice to me. And I just introduced myself. Hey, Schmidt from Green Bay. And you're one of the good guys.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. And Oshkosh Air Support, WIS.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely today, otherwise cloudy. High of 64, south winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, lows around 60, cloudy. 65 tomorrow, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Mino and the Mayor.
Amy Herrick has an event coming up called Smart Girls Rock.
I keep seeing the term STEM. What does that stand for?
First of all, the acronym STEM actually came around, I think it was first in 2001. The concept has always been around, but actually calling it STEM is relatively new.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well,
2001 was just yesterday.
Why don't you just relax, Jim?
It feels like it.
How about Amy? How about more Amy, less you?
Okay. Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Damage from a flood or fire, sewage backup, mold remediation, or biohazard crisis. In all of these situations, you need help. That's why Midwest Restoration is here for you. They're absolute experts at coming in and taking care of anything that needs to be done. For them, it's not just a job, it's personal. Dedicated to lending a hand during your time of need. Midwest Restoration, call 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST. 24/7, 365. Always there when you need them most.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Miss part of the show or want to share it with a friend? Check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. This segment brought to you by Pella.
I'll tell you what, Pella's executing some incredible plays. Products with limited lifetime warranties. Incredible innovations like blinds and shades between the glass. Stylish windows with hidden screens that make game days a breeze. This Pella play proves to be the game winner. Monthly payments as low as $19 per window, $75 per patio door, and get a free quote at PellaWI.com. Whether you're looking to replace old or damaged windows and doors or just wanting to revamp the look of your home, Pella offers a wide range of styles and materials to match your home's unique design. Don't miss out. For a limited time, monthly payments as low as $19 per window, $75 per patio door at PellaWindowsAndDoors.com. Once again, PellaWI.com. $4.99 APR for 120 months. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Can I get some intro music, Todd?
Man, you are good at that.
Thanks. I need some intro music here.
I'm trying to think what to play.
Right, give me something good.
Something good.
We are the champions?
No.
Well, let me work on some stuff.
What's wrong with that?
Hang on. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, on Throwback Thursday, we are proud, we are honored, we are humbled to have the man who came over from Poland. Yes, he lived next door to Jim Schmidt's relatives. And that's why they chased him out of the country.
Okay, let's get to our guest.
This young man, at one day, was in Marquette, Michigan, Memorial Field, as Hillsdale, coached by the legendary Muddy Waters, was getting set to take on the formidable Wildcats of Northern Michigan University.
Hang in there, we'll get to you.
A young man with curly unruly hair, much like the kicker himself, was sitting in the stands and watching this unbelievable leg kick field goals of 65 yards with ease.
That
and
is true.
And this young man thought to himself, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to kick like this guy, and I'm going to win the punt passing kick contest. Okay. But alas, he left his good tennis shoes at school and wore the slippery ones and fell on the wet ground and did not place. But ladies and gentlemen, what an honor it was in 1972 to come to Lambeau Field from Negaunee and watch this man, Chester Marple.
Yeah, finally. Okay, that's
it.
Thank you. Chester Markle, you
made me laugh.
How you doing, buddy?
He made all of us laugh because it's like...
me too. I'm listening. What the heck is that?
I know. And he's like, let me introduce him. But we didn't know it was going to be 7 minutes. But thank you for hanging in there and joining our show. You are a name that... How do you say it?
Everybody I mentioned that you were coming on, it's like, is he coming down there? I want to meet him.
Everybody.
I must have had 7 people text me. Will he be there in person? I would like to meet him.
We could have had you signing autographs here, Chester, but you've got that staying power, and I don't know if it was one particular game or your uniqueness and your kicking or the, like Johnny said, the 65-yard field goals, but you're incredible, and welcome to our show. We're delighted to have you on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Chester, that was all true, though, wasn't it?
Whatever trips your trigger, man.
I remember you in pregame at Northern, and you were kicking him 65 yards.
Yeah, that was pretty normal those days for me, though. You know, it's just different because, let's face it, in the 60s or 70s, I graduated. My last year in Hillsdale was 1971, so we played Northern here before and all that kind of stuff. And I remember going to Winona, Minnesota. We were playing at Hillsdale, and I was warming up, kicking 60-yard field goals or better. And the other team actually stopped and watched.
How's he doing that?
Well, nobody saw that before, though,
but
Chester.
To me, that was kind of weird because they called me Gogolak right after that.
Yeah,
because
that was, I was just going to say that. The Gogolak brothers were really the only, and maybe Jan Stenerud, were the only soccer-style kickers. And most of the kickers, you know, hit some offensive linemen who kicked straight on. And you come out, and it was just like a whole new world of football.
Yeah, it is, because the torque of a kick and everything, you know, obviously soccer kickers kick the ball a lot further.
Yeah.
And it's because of the leg goes further back and then the follow through. And, you know, straight on kicking, that leg can only go back so far.
Chester, you attribute that to a coach or to like a mentor? There's a lot we want to get over. How did you, like, is there somebody that taught you that, or was it an innate thing? Did you do it when you were a little kid?
Well, you know, I lived in Poland for 15 and a half years, so I was a big-time soccer, junior soccer star. And I had a lot of my friends kick the ball a hell of a lot further than I did.
Wow.
To me, it was no big deal because nobody paid attention to the distance of a soccer ball, you know?
Yeah.
You look at TV and these goalies can punt that football 70 yards all the time. You look at all the rugby punters now, and you know, kicking came so far. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing how many punters now are from Australia or New Zealand and places like that. Chester, were you surprised at the tremendous success you had right away in the NFL, or did you kind of expect that?
I didn't know what to expect, man. I didn't have no clue. I knew that I had a strong leg, and everything was different because those days we could kick the ball in college off from the tee, and, you know, I had a lot of scouts coming into Hillsdale, and obviously the goalposts were on the goal line, so they wanted to make sure that soccer kickers were able to lift that ball up real fast. So, you know, but over time, you look where all this stuff to progress, the pristine stadiums, the footballs that are only using for kicking, and man, I would have been licking my chops if I could do that instead of kicking field goals with stick 'em on the ball.
Yeah, and at County Stadium on a wet day and things like that?
Well, County Stadium on a wet day was difficult because sometimes my whole foot up to the ankle would disappear in the mud. But you got to remember, an outfield going the opposite direction, the grass was tall. So you've got an inch and a half of football laying in the grass. So it'd be just like somebody who plays golf hitting the golf ball from the rough every time of their life.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. We're talking with Chester Markle.
Everything is so different, and the stadiums are just incredible. And I think that's why, like in Washington or in Detroit and all that, I had a lot of success because even though there were in Detroit, there was a baseball stadiums, but they had three decker and the wind and anything didn't affect the ball like it did at County Stadium or Minneapolis or Baltimore or Cleveland. And that was hard to get used to.
I remember talking to Jan Stenerud after he left the Packers and went to the Vikings for a year or two, and he missed a chip shot against the Packers at County Stadium, and somebody asked him after the game, and I was there, he said, you know, what are you going to miss about because everyone was going to retire. He goes, the one thing I'll never miss is kicking a football in Milwaukee. I'll never miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, who would?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that Milwaukee was fun playing in Milwaukee. The fans were great and all that stuff. But it's just, the whole football and the whole game and everything is completely different.
Yeah. Well, and I want to talk to you about, we're with Chester Markle, who just said the phenomenal kicker, hailed from Poland, Hillsdale College. And
yeah, I saw all that, Jim, so you can go.
No, I'm just saying, it just really made an impact. For those of us just joining us, Chester, do you have a favorite kick? You got a memorable kick, a favorite game, just an experience with all the stuff you've been through. That's like, man, when I think back, that was all cylinders.
Yeah, you know that Bear game. That was a special. Yeah. That was different, and it was just kind of completely odd. Never happened before nor since. It may never again, but who knows? But I think my favorite, one that I remember so well was my rookie year when we went to Minneapolis and I kicked a few field goals and my first kick in the warm-ups, I couldn't reach from 35 yards because the wind was blowing so strong into me that there's no way I was right. So very first field goal I tried, they sent me in, was up about 35 yards and was straight on, but was by short. But then the opposite direction, the wind was blowing and from left to right, right to left, straight on. You have to guess when it's going to blow from. So I've tried a 49-yard field goal, and when I kicked it, I put my hands on my knees and said a few choice words because the ball started about 5 yards to the right, wide. And when I looked up, the ball went right through the middle of the upright. So
beautiful.
So
that's cool.
That's the kind of stuff I think you're about. But my favorite moment, I think, because everything was so new my rookie year, and is when we won the Central Division and we were coming back to Green Bay. We were flying over stadium. They had it lit up and all that, and get to the airport. It took me a couple hours to get out of the airport because there were so many people in there. Wow. So that meant more to me than any individual, other than going to the Pro Bowl my rookie year and being able to be part of a group that I observed on television only prior to that moment. So yeah, that was really cool. I think everything happened so fast.
Yeah, they weren't, some of the veterans weren't all that kind to you though, right, Chester?
What do you mean?
Didn't you say Fred Carr and some people would give you a hard time because you were a rookie?
Oh, yeah, they always did. Because I was a rookie. But, you know, after about three-quarter of the season, they even let me go. I walked by mistake on a veterans bus, right?
Okay.
So Freddie used to, he was next to me in the locker room, but I walked in on a veterans bus and everybody was just complaining, much more than complaining to me. Get that maggot out of here.
All those days.
You know, Dave Robinson, he says, no, don't worry about it. You and Willie are past the rookie already. So it was kind of at the end of the season. So we were accepted well, but that was part of the tradition. I don't know if that kind of stuff exists anymore, because the stuff that existed in college and fraternity rush week that was next to deadly, I don't think all that stuff exists. So life changed, period.
Well, Chester, just briefly here, we're going to send it to a break, then come back. But we want to talk about two things when we come back, because people, and I know you've been asked about this a million times, about that kick against the Bears. And Larry McCarron always says he deserves credit for that because he missed the block on, I think it was Alan Page, and Alan Page blocked it then or something. So, so many people just, hey, would you just get his thoughts on that one again? And then I want to talk about your incredible comeback, what you've done to help people. We had Tony Mandarich on here a couple of weeks ago, and Tony admitted, he said, you know, my first 3 years in the NFL, I was so strung out on drugs and alcohol, it was unbelievable, and it took me a couple of years to realize, what the hell am I doing? And now he's a counselor and helps people, and it's much along the lines of your story. And you're okay to talk about that, right?
Sure.
Oh, you've given incredible talks about that. I've heard you a number of times. And, yeah, we want to talk about that. A little bit more football, but a lot more about what you're doing for this community and for a lot of people to help them through this recovery, which many, many people struggle with. So we're with Chester Markle.
Stick around. One other quick question, Chester. Are you going to be deer hunting in the UP or Wisconsin this year?
Both.
I'm not.
You're not? Okay.
All right.
No.
You must be a busy man then.
No, I just turned 74. I'm done climbing trees.
Okay. Yeah, don't blame you. All right, we're with Chester Markle. We'll be back with more with Chester right after this.
Like it's time for a change. You may get disgusted. Start thinking that I'm strange. Dead kids are going to ground. Get some heavy rest. About what is worse or what is best. Do it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Groody's doing DC, baby. The rest of the week, I'll be there. You know, I got some big guests lined up.
And you'll have to tune in for those very special guests live from Washington, D.C. this Wednesday and Thursday. Catch the broadcast starting at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on WGBW WISN 750 in the morning. 53 degrees in Green Bay, 56 in Appleton, 57 in Oshkosh. Very honored to have Chester Markle joining us here on Throwback Thursday. And again, Chester, I know you've been asked about it a billion times, but I had so many people say, hey, could you ask him? I've never heard him talk about the Bears game. Of course, the blocked field goal that came back, you took him for a touchdown.
And Chester, I just want to say that we just got a text in from a huge Bears fan. Yeah. That's like, really? We got to talk
about
this?
This again?
But we want to hear about it.
So,
and so do our listeners.
Yeah, we do. So go ahead, Chester.
Well, this was an odd game, right? We're kicking field goals and not much offense going on. And right prior to the attempt of that field goal that was blocked, you know, Walter Payton, Chicago was backed up pretty much on 1 yard line or something. And Mike Butler almost tackled Walter Payton a couple yards in the end zone. But because of Walter Payton, he escaped and Chicago had to punt. So if Mike Butler would have, if there was any other running back, I think, than Walter Payton, then the game would end it in a safety. But, you know, I don't know. I was so confident, and I was 2 for 2, and a bear kicker was 2 for 2, 6 to 6, overtime. And it was like normal stuff. You know, you kick, you catch, you run. And people ask me craziest questions, I'm telling you. They ask me, well, when you caught the ball, what were you thinking?
Thinking running.
Well, if I stopped and thought, I've been tattooed on the ground. Athletes don't stop and think.
No, they react.
You react. A person prepares themselves all their life for moments like these. And, you know, I was a goalie in a soccer, so I always had real good hands. And so I could catch the ball, and there was no time to think. You react, you score, and the game is over. Rest was history, and the craziest thing was my family and I, at that time, day after, we went to IHOP, and I think that used to be off military, for breakfast, and I wish I had that picture. It says Chester Markle for president on their billboard.
Obviously, I
could never be a president because I wasn't born in
that's
the
right.
United
you
States.
Can't. That's the only thing you can't do. You got to be born here. So on their marquee, they had Chester Markle for president.
Yeah,
isn't that
that's awesome?
That is terrific.
I know. I was laughing but just it was fun. And that night we went. I think it was Carlton used to have those Las Vegas shows.
Yeah.
And there was people there, and then these guys who I can't remember who performed, but they asked questions that, you know, they were talking about what they saw, and I said, if that guy's by any chance there, can you stand up? So I stood up.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that
now
something?
That's something I never heard before.
That's pretty cool. That Carlton West had some top name entertainment, so that must have been for them to call you out is awesome. I just want to say, Chester, for someone who's been in politics, I think you would have got a lot of votes if you would have taken them up on that. Hey, Chester, so you know, you had a great NFL career, but let's move on a little bit. In that, you know, you had some challenges with alcohol, and you went through recovery and not just cured yourself, but you have done a great job in this community. And I know you've spoken at St. Norbert College because I saw you there a couple times. Getting that message out, how is that? Tell us a little bit about that. That's just a remarkable part of who you are.
Well, you know, it takes a long time to get it for some people. And obviously, it took a long time to get it. But yet, you know, my responsibility, I think, to every community and every place I go is to give back what others gave to me when I didn't know how to get it. And people loved me and cared for me and appreciated me for the person that I was before I knew how to take care of myself, before I learned how to love myself. And I think that's what my responsibility is, because I don't forget. I remember going to treatment in Grand Rapids, and I went to treatment. I didn't have anything on me except that one clothes. My friend dropped me off from downtown Lansing. And I used to smoke cigarettes, and I didn't have any. So I bummed one here, bummed one there. That was in the 80s, so obviously we could smoke. And this one guy that was in detox with me, I don't know. I can't remember his name. I didn't know who he was. So next morning, every morning, like a cart with cartons of cigarettes, go buy people, whoever want to buy them. He bought me carton of cigarettes, and he says, don't worry about the money. And if you knew how many packs of cigarettes I bought since for people who weren't able to afford it, that's what it takes. I'm one of these friends that I give without expectations, and when somebody does something for me, I hope they don't expect nothing in return, because I do it out of my own heart. And I don't like these 50-50, you do this for me, I got to do this for you. I do it because my heart tells me to do it, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, God bless you for that. You have helped a lot of people with recovery.
Yep. Your story is tremendous, Chester. It really and truly is. And you know what? You've always just been a normal guy. I mean, like I'd see at Luxembourg football games or when we went fishing and stuff. You've always just been a normal guy. I think that's cool.
Or at IHOP.
Yeah, I'm just, who am I? I'm just a humble kid from Poland, you know, and I came here, and that's how I was the first few years. Then I got hurt, and you know, my life changed from one to another. And up until that first game, I think it was in 75, I didn't even know. If you asked me to go get you a pain pill because you have a headache or broken arm, I would go to pharmacy, get you Bayer aspirin, because I didn't know what pain pills were. I had no clue.
Yeah.
Hold and I was 27 or 20, going on 27. So we don't know, because it affects people from all walks of life, all different generations. And you know, like I was telling my kids, when they were growing up, I said, you know, Mikey and Mariah, and there's a chance that if you ever start drinking, you're going to have a problem. So,
there you go. Right.
Well, Chester, best. We're running out of time. I can't thank you enough. This has been so wonderful. I wish we had another hour to talk. You're the man. I respect heck out of you, buddy. Hope to see you around soon.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you, buddy. Chester Markle joining us here on Throwback Thursday. What a great guest. We had all great guests today. Thank you so much for everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Mino and the Mayor.
See ya.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
All right, Team Pella, listen up.
customers love our
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the Assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville